If you saw us earlier and you didn't see us on Facebook, we had a little snafu.
Yeah. So you want to kind of start at the beginning?
I will.
Okay.
we're going to go back. We're going to start over again, so to speak. For those of you who were just joining us, we had some problems going out over the air. And so I'm sharing today about a song of rescue and delivery. And it's a psalm of David. And I was saying earlier that I'm doing a series through the summer called Songs of Summer, which is a sermon series and where I'm taking a look at the psalms that are not necessarily the popular psalms. You know, the psalms that we're familiar with, Psalm 1, 23, 51, 117, 119, Psalm 90. Some of those, you know, we're fairly well familiar with, but a lot of times we kind of read these other psalms, but we don't spend very much time with them. And so this is a psalm of rescue and delivery, and it's a psalm of David, and we're going to be looking at that. I was saying earlier that the late Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis had said to his impatient daughter one time, "My dear, if you would only recognize that life is hard, things would be so much easier for you." And the truth is that things, recognizing life is hard does not necessarily, I've been saying I've had him in a tongue tangle this morning, recognizing that things are hard does not necessarily make life easier, but it makes it easier for you to deal with life because you realize that there are going to be difficult times in life. You realize that you're not going to always have it easy. And Jesus basically said that same thing to his disciples. And he told his disciples to expect trials. John chapter 16, he begins that chapter in verses 1 and 2 saying these things. "I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you thinks that he is offering a service to God." And then he goes on and he talks about the Holy Spirit and a lot of the other things in that chapter. And then he ends that chapter on a very similar vein in verse 33. He said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And so he's saying to his followers, expect difficult times to come. Expect that there are going to be hard times in life. But remember, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I've overcome the world. And it's in those difficult times of life that we really begin to realize God's faithfulness. To persevere as a Christian, you know that there's going to be times when your life is in the pit, when things are not going well. But when you realize that God is with you, you know that this is not a time that is going to last forever. And it's when you know that God is with you that you kind of know what to do when you're there. And you look up and you place your trust in God. Many wind up turning away from the Lord whenever they're in the pit. But a true follower says, "I'm going to place my trust in the Lord." And that trust allows you to be rescued from the pit that you find yourself in. And so when you're in the pit, learn to proclaim the Lord's goodness and look to him for the answers rather than fretting and worrying about what to do. And Psalm 40 is David's plea to be rescued from the pit. He finds himself in a situation he doesn't know what to do, and he turns to God to rescue him. And so let's look at that psalm this morning. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see him and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. And so I think in this passage of Scripture, we see that there are some lessons on how to be rescued and delivered from those places that we find ourselves in from time to time. And the first thing is that we need to trust God to pick us up. David begins and he says that patience really is the key to delivery. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, generally, we're very impatient people in our world today. But patience is really that key. Society has taught us that patience is not a virtue. I mean, really, stop to think about it. You want something that used to be you had to get in your vehicle and you had to drive to the store and pick it up. Now if you want something, you just get online, you go on Amazon or Walmart.com or whatever, and you can order it and have it delivered to your door. You know, it's just like we want it and we want it now. And we think, why wait for something when we can have it almost instantaneously? You know, sometimes you don't even need to wait for it. You can get information very quickly. Go online and search for it. It's hard for us. And so when we have to wait for something, it has a tendency to aggravate us. But we need to remember that God's timing is always perfect. Someone once said that God is seldom early, but he's never late in his deliverance. And, you know, if God always delivered something to us instantaneously, we would learn not to really trust him. But when we wait for his time, we find that his timing is always right. It's always on time. And when we try to force a solution to whatever it is, more often than not, we aggravate the problem. But when we wait for God, we find that he meets the need in the right way at the right time. And so we need to learn to wait patiently as we're trusting God to pick us up. And then we see that as we're waiting for God to pick us up, that God places our feet on firm ground. And he points that out in verse 2, and that we are placed on firm ground. You know, when you try to force a resolution, it's like trying to crawl out of a mud hole. It's really difficult. My brother James, when he was in college, he cut wood to help supplement his income to pay for his college. And so one Christmas break, I was helping him cut wood up in the mountains about 80, 90 miles away from where we live. And it had been a really wet year in New Mexico, a wet fall and beginning of winter. And so we had taken my dad's tractor up there to help pull the wood out of the firewood out of the forest there. And we got up there early and we started cutting wood. The ground was frozen and we went in, picked up a load of wood, went back in to pick up another load of wood, and the ground had thawed a little bit. And we got about 30, 40 yards off the road, and we broke through the crust and the tractor just sank all the way down to the axle. And so we spent probably 2 hours shoveling mud out of this hole. And as fast as we could shovel it out, the mud run right back in. We tried to put a log down in there, and it would just break the crust some more. So we finally gave up, went back to cutting wood, and we waited until evening, and whenever it started to freeze again, and things began to thaw or firm up a little bit because it was getting cold, and we put some logs down in there, and we got the tractor out. But, you know, we were trying to force it. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get that tractor out because we thought we needed it to haul this wood. Oh, we actually kind of did, but, you know, when you try to force it, you just make matters worse. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did. It just kept going down, down, and down. And we finally got it out. But that's the way it is in life. When we try to force things, we make things worse usually rather than making them better. And the more we dig, the deeper we sink. And so we have to wait for God and His timing to lift us out. Maybe there's something we need to learn from this situation. Maybe we know what we need to learn, but maybe there's something else that needs to be resolved that we need to wait for God to resolve. But when He does lift us out, then we find that when we have our feet on solid ground, we can praise God. We can celebrate what God has done in our life and how He's delivered us. We acknowledge His love and His goodness. We look back and we go, oh, wow, God, I'm glad You worked it out in Your way and not my way. Your love for me kept me from doing something stupid. Well, sometimes it keeps us from doing something stupid anyway. We are bullheaded sometimes and go ahead and do it. But we look back and go, Lord, you've done really great things. And we can celebrate what He's done. And when we celebrate, it reaffirms our faith in God, and it becomes a witness of God's faithfulness, and it strengthens us for future times in which we find ourselves in difficulty and needing delivery. But celebration also encourages others when they're going through difficult times. And if God's delivered you, then it helps to show them that God's going to deliver them as well. And your witness really becomes an encouragement to others because of that. And so we need to make sure that whenever we find ourselves in the pit, we quit digging and we allow God to pick us up. But we also need to trust God that He's going to bring the blessings to us through that. Verse 4, he says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Many are the wonders You have done in verse 5. None can compare with You. And, you know, a lot of times in life I've told people we often view God as a divine candy machine. We plug in a prayer, we pull out the lever, and we get what we want. That's the view we have of God. And really, God does sometimes work that way. We pray and we ask God for it, and God delivers because it's in His timing. But the problem with this view is that if we are expecting that, then maybe sometimes when we get what we want, it isn't always best for us. when what we want doesn't work out for us, when we go, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. I got this, and it definitely wasn't what I thought it was. But true trust doesn't look to God for our wants, but for what he wants. True trust doesn't look to God for our wants, but for what he wants. And David writes, he's done many wonderful things for us, and we need to look back at all the ways that God has blessed us with the life that he's given us, with the family that we have, the church family that we have, the community that we have, that we live in, and the community that we have with those people around us. And let's be honest, maybe all of these things haven't necessarily been great in your life. Maybe you've had a rough background, but God's brought you to the point where you're at right now, and why? It's because he wants to do more in your life. He wants to make these things abundant in your life, but he's got to work through a lot of the junk we've got to begin with. And we need to remember that God has great things planned for us in our lives, and the great things planned for you come back to the trust that is mentioned in verse 4, that we're trusting God. And as someone said, if you want to be blessed, then you must trust God for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we need to quit dictating what we want God to do and just say, God, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What is best? And we need to allow him to give us what we need in life and to direct us in our life, and then we can live our best life. And the more you pursue God, the more blessed you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. And I'm not talking necessarily about material blessings. I'm just talking about a blessed life, a life of wholeness, a life of healing, a life of meaning. And so we need to pursue God. And pursuing God, we're placing our trust in God, and that trust results in obedience, which verses 6 through 8 point out. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. You opened my ears to hear instead of that. I said, here I am. I come. It's written to me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. The importance of desiring to do God's will. You know, a lot of times we go through life and we live a life of rituals. And rituals for the sake of ritual produce very little result. Now, it's good to come to church out of habit. I mean, that's a great
habit.
Good.
Yeah.
because habits can actually get you through some rough places in life.
Mm-hmm.
But when we begin to take habits for granted and we make them rituals rather than things that can help to move us forward, then we're not really praising God through our habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure that we have good habits. It's important to have good habits, but that our habits are always looking to what God wants to do in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And in our lives, and that we are actually obeying versus doing just a ritual. That was what Jesus had a problem with the religious leaders of his day. They had all these rituals. They demanded that everybody live according to the letter of the law, but the problem is, live according to the letter of the law in the way that we interpret it,
mm-hmm.
rather than what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to do what is asked and what God says. Jesus said that the intent of the heart was more important than just going through the ritual. Why are you doing it? If you're doing it for the right reason, then it is beneficial. If you're doing it just because it makes you look good, just because you think that's what you have to do in order to get ahead in life, probably not the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it because you love God and you want God to do a work in and through you, you're living out the intent of what God asks and not what the interpretation of others demand. And when you're living out God's intent, you're living a life that is making a difference. And so that's highly important for us. And so we need to make sure that we're doing that. I don't know where we're at time-wise.
If you're ready for prayer requests,
we can do that.
Some. Okay.
Since we were a little bit of off getting going here.